Look at that. You can have all the money you want, but when you lay down at night and you have problems, they're still there. Money doesn't erase that. But some guy that's doing his best, he has the right, he's content, he has the right philosophy, he's out working hard, he goes to bed, he has a clear conscience, he's sleeping. This, oh, I got all this money, I got all this stuff, and you got a bunch of problems that go with it because you're not doing it right. And you're sitting there at night and you can't sleep and you're stressed. Then he says in verse 13, there's a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their what? Hurt. I don't care how much money you make. If you do not have the right principles about money, if you don't have the right mindset about it, you're going to have problems. It's going to cause you trouble. Matthew tells us that money is very temporal. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So listen, be very careful. Don't have everything that you have. It's only about what's on this earth, because what's on this earth, it depreciates. It gets old. You can lose it. He says, but when you have the right eternal mindset, it lasts forever. Corruption. Look, the biggest negative about having the right, wrong mindset about what we have is our heart follows our money. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if we have these wrong thoughts about our money, the wrong mindset, the wrong philosophies, it causes us to have the right thoughts, wrong thoughts about our finances, so we're not using them correctly, and whatever we're doing, our heart is just following along. You know who's most interested in missions updates? Those that give to missions, because we're investing in missions. You know who has the biggest interest in the new building? Those who give regularly, no matter what the amount is, whatever we can give, those that give the bill, we have a little bit more interest in it. Why? We're invested in it. Okay? We've put our money where our mouth is, and our heart follows. So this thing about our philosophy of money, our philosophy of how we handle our finances is big, because our life just kind of trails along. We must be very careful. If we're corrupt in our financial dealings, it has consequences which cause sorrow. Could be because of the way we handle money. It could be because we're hoarding money. Most of the negatives or sorrow that Proverbs describes come as a result of how we handle our wealth. It can do more to us than it can do for us. What would be the use of being rich if all it brings is sorrow? This is not, you know, a good illustration, but I read an article one time, and they went through, they were mentioning all these different people that won the lotto and how it just ruined their life. I heard a story about one man. He had a construction-type business. He wasn't actually a builder. It was construction equipment, and he was doing pretty good. But, you know, he had a habit of playing the lotto. He won like $300 million. He already had, he wasn't filthy rich, but I just violated my own thing I said, but he was rich compared to most of America, and he enjoyed his business. You know what people did? Because he had a business and they knew he won the lotto, they had a vehicle to get to his money. So he said within a year he had over 300 lawsuits against his business. Just charlatans and people that just, this is how I can get your money. And he said in the little thing there, he goes, I wish I'd never played and won. I was better off before I did that. We just think that money brings joy and happiness, and we need to be very careful about that. It's a mindset that's not necessarily true. Can you put a real price tag on joy? So as when Solomon mentioned the man that, you know, he may have abundance, but he can't sleep at night. Can you put a real price tag on that? Can you put a real price tag on the relationships of your life? How many marriages or relationships have been ruined because someone feels, I got to work all the time and make all this money and they're never home and they're never with their, and relationships ruined. Yeah, but I'm doing it for you. Wrong mindset. I want to be able to take my kid to Disneyland. If you can't afford it, help them hop the fence. Do something. Okay? They would much rather, believe it or not, mom and dad, have you around the house with them. Can't put a price tag on the things that are real important. Now, it doesn't mean that as Christians, we escape this life without some measure of pain, some measure of sorrow, burdens. But it's nice to know that those things that come are not a result of some sinful desire or some violation of a biblical principle related to finances. Just things that happen in life, and we know the Lord's with us. Number 8, God, and I choose this word very carefully, God hates deceitful business dealings, but he delights in honest business practice. There's a reason. Let's read several verses. Proverbs 11:1. A false balance, we'll explain these in a minute. A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, you do need to know abomination means to hate intensely. That's where I get the word there. Proverbs 20:10. Diverse weights, different types of weights, and diverse measures, both of them alike, are alike abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 20:23. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Proverbs 22:16, he that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. You say, what's that all about? I have no idea. Actually, I do. Look at the first few verses. The weights here were used in business in place of a scale. That's where he talks about the balance. They, in their commerce, they did not have the technology we had back in biblical times. So if you went to the store and you were buying grain, you would say you wanted to buy a pound of grain. They had a scale there. They would come and they would put a 1 pound scale on one side and they would put grain in this side until it balanced evenly, and that told you had a pound. Well, in the first verse, what it is they had the scale off a little bit so that when you were buying, you weren't getting as much as you were paying for, and they were skimming a little off the top, and over the long run, they're making more money. But that was deceitful. Then when he talks about the diverse ones, that means the merchant would have different weights. He would have two weights that would say 1 pound on them. If you were buying grain from him, the weight he would use that said 1 pound was a little bit less than a pound, so you didn't get as much as you were paying for. If he was buying from you, the pound that he said, the weight that he had that said 1 pound would be a little bit more than a pound so that he was getting extra for his money. Both of these are deceitful. What does God say about that? God doesn't mince words there. He says, I hate it. The landmarks were used to basically delineate property lines. And so what you would do is if you had a property line, you could go out at night and maybe move that little ancient landmark just a little. Not noticeable. And over the course of time, you might be able to increase your land, which means you're stealing land from your neighbor. And then he just talks about oppressing the poor for profit, taking advantage of those who are not good with money. Many years ago, there was an older lady in Paramount that came to our church periodically, and I went to visit her, and she was not real up on things. And she's like, I bought a brand new car. I don't think it was a Ford. It was one of these little economy cars. I'm like, hey, it's not brand new. So how much did you pay for it? And she told me, and I'm thinking in my mind, I wasn't going to tell her, that was ridiculous. She got ripped off big time. Now, I kind of told her, you know, hey, let me talk to your relative. You guys need to take that back and get on them. I mean, he saw her come, and she had no idea, and they just clubbed her over the head. Okay? Oh, you know, look at how much money I made today. you ripped off somebody. Now, the Bible's not against making profit, but there should be a balance there. We rip people off. God doesn't want those kind of things. Taking advantage of people for your own personal profit, that's called an abomination. Because here's the problem. If our goal is profit and getting all we can, then we're going to do everything we can, even if it means taking from somebody. I was going to say that we shouldn't take from, but you really shouldn't take from anybody. It's being deceitful. Ripping someone off. It's a violation. By the way, it's a violation of the greatest command of the Bible. Look at there in Matthew. We've read this many times. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. This isn't true of everybody, because I know there's businessmen in here, and you're Christians. But I get really leery when a businessman tries to sell to me based on the fact that he's using that he's a Christian. How many know I'm talking about? The late 80s, there was a big, there was a used car lot, and they were a Christian used car lot. They advertised on Christian radio, and really at that time, they were pretty well known. My mom actually bought a car from them. And so I saw the car, and I noticed on the inside of the front tires, they were worn, and what they did is they flipped the tire around so the worn part was on the inside. You couldn't see it. So I happened to notice it, and I said, she's not going to buy the car unless you replace those tires. He goes, you know what? I didn't catch that. You know, we'll put not new tires, but we'll put tires that have tread on them. I'm like, that's fine. So when my mom went to pick the car up, I'm like, check those front tires, because those front tires, you know, those were bad. My mom knew what to look for. So she went and got the car, and she checked the front tires of the car, and sure enough, the tread was great. And then she came over our house, and I looked at the back tires. You know what they did? They put the front tires in the back, showed her the front tires, and sent her out the door. By the way, a couple, 6, 7 months, a year later, that company got busted for some unethical practices and got put out of business. And they advertised themselves as a Christian company, big time. Just to what? Why? To rip off? Now you can just rip off Christians instead of regular people too? Okay? Integrity is important. We're a Christian. You know what? We are Christians 24/7. Well, when I go to work and I'm a salesman, I'm not a Christian for these 8 hours, then you missed it. Okay? Then maybe you're not a Christian the other 16 hours either. That was free. God wants us to be ethical. Put God first, believe it or not, even in your business. We all know the story of James L. Kraft. He was the guy that you know, the Kraft Cheese Company? I don't know how much cheese they make, but they make the little boxes of macaroni and cheese. By the way, if it's made from powder, it's probably not real cheese. I thought I'd just throw that out there for you. I'm surprised they don't sell it at McDonald's. But he started out as a cheese salesman. They moved his company to Chicago, and then they laid him off, or they got rid of him. They didn't need him anymore. He started his own cheese company, and he was struggling financially. And I don't know if he came to this himself or someone told him this. They said, listen, you're a Christian. Make sure you're giving 10% of every penny you make to God. And he said, I'm going to do that even though I'm struggling. And God started to bless his business. By the way, over the years, he started giving more and more and more. Towards the end of his life, he was given way more than 10%. I think he was given more than 50% of his money. He said this. He said, as a Christian, he goes, I don't believe in tithing. He goes, but I think it's a good place to start. He put God first in his business. Let me say one more thing, and we'll be done. You should be. See, I'm not a boss. I'm not the one that's, I'm just an employee. I wouldn't work somewhere that wants me to rip people off and be deceitful. I wouldn't do it. I gave him the story before, but when I was a new Christian, my dad wasn't saved, and I worked for his business, and I'm like, you know, I got to be a tested one. My dad, and the phone rang, and he had his auto electric business. He goes, hey, answer that. You know, he was just like, you know how most people, he goes, if that's this guy, I don't want to talk to him. Tell him I'm not here. Now, I used to work for my dad before I was living for God, so, you know, that's what I used. And I'm like, I stood there for a second. I'm like, I can't do that, Dad. He's like, what? I said, I'm a Christian now, and I don't want to lie. He goes, come on, man. I don't know what he's like. Get on the edge of that phone. Just do it. And I was respectful. I said, I can't do it. And he goes, fine, just let the phone ring. Now, he was upset right then, but I guarantee you when he walked away, he probably trusted me a little bit more. He probably said, the kid at least believes something. Well, you know, and of course, he wasn't going to fire me. He's my dad, right? He had to stay there. Do you know what? A lot of theft in companies is done by employees. See, but people where I work do it all the time. It's okay. My supervisor said, they just don't care. I get it. He may be your supervisor, but you have another supervisor who tells you not to steal from your company. I got these statistics, and it's hard to believe. It's statistics on employee theft. Are you ready? Annual amount stolen from U.S. businesses by their employees. I got to figure this out. There's a lot of zeros. That would be millions. Okay, $50 billion. Employees. Percentage of annual revenues lost to theft or fraud solely from employees, 7%. Okay, this is hard to believe. Percentage of employees who have stolen at least once from their employer, 75%. Percentage of employees who have stolen at least twice from their employer, well, this is better. It's not 75%, it's only 37.5. I guess once I did it once, I felt bad. This is crazy. Percentage of all business bankruptcies caused by employee theft, 33%. By the way, and we're done. If you're an employee and you work at a business, you ought to be the best employee. You ought to be. There's one person they trust where you work, whether to work when the boss isn't around. You know, you don't need to necessarily steal from your boss to steal from your boss. If you're not working on work time, that's stealing. Do you understand that? That's stealing. Give them your all. One time when we moved to Florida, we were trying to get a job, and there was this big retirement, huge, almost like the retirement world over here. They needed people to mow their lawns, so we needed jobs. So my buddy and I went there. My buddy was talking to her. He goes, man, he goes, this is hard. You know, the guy was giving us a spiel. It's hard work. I don't know if you guys can handle it, you know, and he was trying to scare us away. And my buddy looked him in the eye and said, man, we are Christians. We're going to work hard. You won't have anybody. That grass will all be cut. We'll be here. We'll be on time, all this. And the guy goes, you don't have to work that hard. Okay. That's how most people's real philosophy is, though. You don't have to work that hard. Scale back. If you've never heard this at work, then you're not working hard enough. Hey, you're making us look bad. Slow down. So I'm not trying to make you look bad. I'm just trying to be a Christian. Business dealings. Just because we clock in to our job doesn't mean we clock out on God. Hey, God, I'll see you in 8.5 hours. Okay, I got to do my thing here. Let's not do that. Let's be honest in our business dealings. Let's pray.